Some landlords around the country might be sweating it a bit at the moment because deadline day to insulate their properties is just around the corner, July 1st. And an article by Don Rowe in the spin-off today suggests that many still haven't gotten around to it. And insulators around the country are completely swamped. Joining me now to talk about this is Andrew King, Executive Officer for the Property Investors Federation. Hey there, Andrew.
Oh, hello, Jesse.
Would you agree with Don's analysis of the situation here? Lots of houses that haven't been insulated and little chance of getting an insulator in before July 1st?
There probably is little chance of getting an insulator in, although there is still supplies available in Bunnings and Carter's and a few other places. So if you want to do it yourself, you're probably going to have to do it yourself if you haven't already complied. Hopefully everyone would have.
Can you give us a bit of background to this? What are the new regulations and when and under what circumstances were they announced?
Yeah, it was actually under the last government, the national government. They introduced the minimum standards regulations, which said that every rental property needed to have a 10-year smoke alarm and they needed to be insulated by 1 July this year. We actually supported that because we've always supported putting insulation in rental properties. And in fact, 92% of our members already had insulation in their rentals. That was 3 years ago. And there was actually a meeting, I was at the other night in Auckland, Auckland Property Investors Association meeting, and there was a person there from the Tenancy Compliance Unit, and they asked how many people have insulated, and a sea of hands went up. So I was very very pleased to see that. At least our members, I think, have done the right thing.
Yeah, how many landlords are represented by your organisation?
Not that many, unfortunately. We've only got around about 3,500 members, so we're not too sure how many.
You would tend to be more at the sort of professional end of things, would that be fair to say?
I would hope so. We certainly try and provide education and leadership, but also discounts. We've been encouraging people for about 10 years with discounted products and just to make it easier and cheaper to actually get people to insulate their properties, which is why I think a lot of our members have already insulated their properties. But one thing I would say is that there are estimates of between, you know, up to 220,000 houses left to insulate. I think that was in December last year. Mm. But that we really don't know how many places do actually need insulation, because those figures were an estimate done by ICA about 5 years ago, and it was based on the number of properties that hadn't been insulated through the government scheme. Mm-hmm. And you just have no way of knowing of how many people actually did it without going through the scheme. And although it seemed generous, like it was 50% off the cost, what we found happened is that the cost doubled, and so 50% off actually wasn't much of a saving at all, if anything. And a lot of our members in a survey we did about 4 years ago said that they weren't going through that scheme. So if a lot of people have not gone through that scheme, then I think it would have there'd be an overestimation of how many properties did actually need insulation.
So I'm getting the sense that you don't think there are many properties left or houses left to insulate, rental houses left to insulate in New Zealand.
I don't think there are as many as they think. I don't think it's in that 200,000 area left, no. It is difficult to tell, and we're just about to put out a survey, actually, which we're going to send to our members, but also to property managers and other people to try and get as many rental property owners to take part in it as possible, just to find out how many people are actually still left to insulate their properties, but also how they're fixed for the Healthy Homes standards, which is the round two of Healthy Standards, which will come in 2021.
Out of interest, what does that include?
Well, it's we didn't totally agree with this one, to be honest. We agreed with compulsory insulation, but they're looking at now, if you've already insulated your property, but it was to the last set of standards. Previously, the government said that you wouldn't have to top it up because the cost of topping up is almost the same as completely installing new insulation. And there's less than 10% improvement in efficacy. So it wasn't cost effective. This government has decided that it is cost effective and they do want that to happen. But the other side of things was also heating. We agreed that rental properties should have heating in them and it should be compulsory to have a heater. But they've got one step further and said that it needs to be for the vast majority of rental properties, it's going to have to be an energy efficient one, which essentially means a heat pump in every rental. And what we've found is, although we encourage our members actually to put heat pumps in, they are very good. A lot of tenants simply don't want them and they don't turn them on. So even when we provide them, they're not actually using them. And we think that a compulsory thing, which will add to the rental prices, means that the tenant will be paying for something that they don't actually want.
Okay, back to insulation. What happens on July 1st if you are a landlord in charge of a house that is not insulated?
Yeah, well, you are running a risk because your tenant could check and find out if you have actually insulated or not. And if you haven't, they have the right to take you to the tenancy tribunal to say that you haven't complied with it. And there's not a fine. There's a thing called an exemplary damages, which means that it's not like a fine that goes to the government. Exemplary damages actually come to the party who made the case. So the tenant is the one who gets up to $4,000.
Oh, that's a good incentive to dob your landlord in, isn't it?
It is. It's huge. A lot of people are still saying that we need investigators to go around every single rental property just to check up on them. But personally, I think that would be a real waste of money. I think leave it to the tenants. They're the ones that know the best and they get money for it.
And if you were the government, Andrew, on July 1st, would you start handing out these fines, knowing how busy the insulators are in this final sort of run-up to the deadline, or would you cut them a bit of slack?
Look, me, I'd probably cut them some slack because it has. But having said that, we have had 3 years to do this, and we did tell people 3 years ago to get onto it sooner rather than later. So there probably isn't any excuse for not having it done. Having said that, we have heard of people who were trying to find an installer last year, towards the end of last year, November, December, and not being able to do it, to get someone to install it before July. So it does seem that it has been quite difficult. I guess on a case-by-case basis, there could be some reasons for not doing it. I spoke to one rental property provider who has quite a few properties, and they installed the insulation in most of their properties, and they thought it was in all their properties, actually, but there was one that got missed off, and now the installer cannot get back to do it before July 1. And so they are sweating a little bit, hoping that, you know, they thought they were doing the right thing, and they thought they had actually complied, only to find out about 4 weeks ago that they don't. So I'm hoping that there'll be cases like that, and there will be some leniency for ones where they have made a genuine effort to try.
Yeah, yikes. Are there effective and ineffective forms of insulation? I guess they'll certainly be cheap and expensive.
No. The insulation basically has an R rating, so it doesn't really matter which type you put in. There are some which use formaldehyde still, and are not seen as being as ecologically sound, but efficacy-wise, they're all pretty good.
How much do you reckon it costs to insulate a house?
Oh, look, it does depend on whether you get an insulator in there or whether you do it yourself. But depending on whether you've got any insulation in there, whether you're topping it up or that. But it's usually, to do the ceiling and the underfloor, it's usually around $3,000-$3,500. So it's not a small amount of money, but it does actually improve the quality of the rental property a lot. And we have done studies which shows that rental prices do increase if the property is insulated warm and dry.
Yeah, and maybe that's how they got to the $4,000 fine, right? You may as well do it if it's going to cost you about that much anyway, and you'll still have to do it after July 1st.
Well, exactly. And we've been saying for well over 10 years that it makes good business sense. Forget all the comfy-feely things about making your tenant living in better conditions. It actually makes good business sense to insulate your property. The tenants tend to stay in insulated, warm, dry properties longer, and they tend to pay a higher rental price because it's a better property. So, the business case for doing it is certainly there.
Andrew King from the Property Investors Federation, thanks for your expertise. Nice to chat with you.
Cheers.